So, one of the things that when I'm been here in the States that I always like is when we're at a restaurant and then you order a Coke and then you drink the complete thing, then you can just raise the hand or ask like that, and they come and they take your glass, and then they refill again of Coke, and then you go for a second Coke, and you just only do like this. And a person just come again, and you have a second one, and then you continue eating and everything, and then you do the same again, and then they can come for a third time, and that's like, every time I just go like this, and or the person just pass and see that you have your Coke empty, then they just come and fill it again, and I'm like, wow, that's really good. So, when we start looking at everything of that, and that teach something to us, and is that we are living in a world that we try always to see how everything is by our benefits, or everything is through what we are always want to have. So we just only need to raise our hands, and then there's the person and giving you another Coke. And then when we come into the text that we're looking today in Psalm 143, we look that this is not the same way for David to approach God and to go into Him. It's not the way that we can see our living in this world when we just only need to raise our hands and they are there just to give you another Coke. So David just start giving us, and the way that he just go into the verse and start teaching us how we approach God and how we need to be asking Him for everything that we need in this world. It's not the same way that we just go and raise our hands and go for an extra Coke or for whatever. And he start all the verse number one saying, like, "Oh Lord, hear my prayer." So he's telling us about two things here. Hear to my prayer and to my supplication. Those are two words. And that gives us the idea that it is not just only because we raise our hands or because we can do something. He's just going to be there. So, the first thing is that when we come into God, we need to come to Him praying and asking for supplication. Because some people just think that they can go to God and they can present themselves because God owes them something. So it's not because God owes something to us and He's going to be there, because He needs to give us something that we owe us. So when we come to God, the first thing is we come to Him asking and asking Him for whatever He wants to give to us. And this is the first thing, and why he start with this is because the more important thing for us to understand in our life is that when we come to God, we're coming to a holy God who has everything on His hands, and we are the ones who need to come to Him asking for His mercy. And it's not something that they owe to us, or it is not something that He just needs to give us because we can buy or we just already paid or whatever. We are coming to a holy God who is there to give us whatever He wants to give it, but because of Him and not because of us. So then when he continues, he's talking about and he's telling us why we need to go like into that position to Him, and it's because of His faithfulness and His righteousness. So it's not because something that we have, it's not because something that we are. And again, put it the same example when I was at when we were at that restaurant, and I have been with some of you there. When we are there, we are just like, well, they need to serve us everything, and they need to do everything of that because we're the one paying. But with God, it's not like that. David has been saying, well, we come to you because you are the one who is everything, and you are the one who has all the powers and everything. So all is in you, is not because of me. And that's the first attitude when we come into God. And when we start looking everything that He has done and everything, how the Bible starts saying in Genesis number 1, you know, He creates everything and He has done everything of this, and All the Bible is teaching us how great God is, and everything comes through Him and not through us. This is not something that we enter into a covenant with God and we are the ones saying, well, if you do this, then we're going to do this, because we're the ones who has everything in our hands. So it's different. We're coming to a God who is the one who is faithful and righteous. He's the one who has everything. And it's not in us. We're not the one who are righteous, or we are the one who is faithful. It's just God. And we need to understand, first of all, who are we talking to? What's the person that we are approaching, or in the condition that we are in front of that holy God? And then we continue in verse number 2. Do not enter into judgment. When we can stand in front of in a trial or something like that, you need to know who is the one in charge of everything, and you need to know the position where you are. And one of the things that I really like from all the Psalms and from David is that David is always putting us in the position of knowing the two revelations together. There's the special revelation that it is just coming from God, and what's the name of the other one? I don't know how to say it. Natural revelation. So when you see all of this, you're going to follow how David is going to showing always us these two parts. So it's everything about God, and then it's showing us everything in our nature, or on the way that we can sit around. So when we go into a trial, you see who is in front, you know who is in charge of everything, and you know who has the power. When that person just go and make troops, everybody just, okay, now you can talk. No, now you can talk. Then you know in the position that you are. And David is teaching us that when we come in front of God, then we need to realize who is the one who has everything, all the power, and who is in charge of everything. So then he's saying, don't come with me into this, because I know who I am and I know who you are. And he has been telling that in verse number 1. You are the one who is faithful, and you are the one who is righteous. So he continues to say, because I'm your servant. So David is not coming to God as he's the one who has all the powers in his hands. He knows who is in charge of everything, and he knows that he's just a servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. So David is recognizing who is he talking to. So he's not just talking to somebody. He's not just having a normal conversation with a person that he doesn't know who is that person. So he's coming and he's talking, and he knows who he's talking to. And that's the first thing that David is doing, is he's putting us in a position where we need to know who are we dealing with, or who are we talking with. So then we have been dividing this in 6 parts, all of this psalm. And the second piece is verse 3 and 4. And where David is showing us the necessity that he has. So he knows, he's going to tell us now what's the problem, what is the purpose why he has been writing this psalm. And then he is telling us, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. If there is a person who knows what is to be persecuted, that was David. If you can just go and read everything that David has been facing for all his life, then you will know what he's talking about. He knows what is to be persecuted. He knows what is to be a person just there and having a king trying to go behind you. And sometimes today, when we just go into our life and into our normal situations in everything, we think that our world is so big, and we just think like, well, if all of these problems are just coming into us, and you know, we're persecuted and we're this, and people are doing bad things to us, nothing is compared with what David was going on into his life. And for us in Cuba, sometimes we feel like our problems are so big. And then when we just come into this text or these verses, then we understand what David has been facing and what David was talking about. And if a person knows what is to be persecuted, that was David. So he knows, and he starts telling us, and he's telling, this is my problem, this is what I'm having. And he continued putting everything, all the other things, and he's giving, again, he's telling us, like, they are putting me, like, on the ground, and they have been crushing me, and everything. Just when we see, when you see a person just going like that down into the floor and everything, you know what's the kind of situation that a person is just facing. So, just having David explaining to us everything that he's going through into here, then we know the big situation where David was. But then, when we start looking everything of this, and the necessity, he's giving us the complete picture of what was his problem, what's the necessity that he's having. And when we are looking at all of this, then we know, well, now we know what David is going through. And sometimes we are like that. We have many problems, we're facing many things. But if we continue looking at what David was facing here and all his problems, then we can see that all our problems today are nothing compared with what David has been facing on this psalm. So in verse 4, he continued, therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. So he continued giving and telling us, this is my necessity. This is what is going on. And we can see that in some other places. He's quoting Lamentation 3:6. And he has been going into telling us what his problem. So he starts first telling us who he is dealing with, who is he talking to, and the way or the position that he is in all of this conversation with God. So then, now comes a third division, verses 5 to 6. And it's, he wants to have communion. So then he starts telling us in verse 5 and 6, I remember the days of old. If there's something that when two people get together is, and that happened when we see Pastor Don, we always start like, oh, did you remember when we were here? Do you remember when we were doing this? Did you remember when we, every time that two persons get together, the first thing that they start doing is always going to talk about things that they did in the past. And it's the same thing that David is doing here. He's just going and saying, do you remember this and this and this and this? So he starts always to remember to God, because this is a conversation that he's having with God. This is the thing where he has start talking to God and saying to him, you remember when this, and you remember with when this other thing is was happening. So he's going and telling there about everything that has been for him in something really good. And all the relationship that David and God has been having. Since all the problems that he faced when, if you just go back, when David was in all the problems with the king and everything, you can see how David started talking to God and making remembrance of everything that he has been going and passing with God. And that's a way just to try to show the relationship that David was having with God. And even if we understand the relation that the two of them had, because all the previous texts in the Bible, in Psalms and everything, if we can see the relationship that David and God has, and even that, he was not coming to God as two equal persons. He was understanding how sinful he was and the kind of person that he was just, and that's why he needed God, because he knows that God was the only one that can help him. And that's the same for us today. Sometimes we're just like this, we're having problems, we're having situations, we're having everything, but some people just don't know how to approach God and how to come to God. And sometimes we come as equal persons, and God is not like that. We need to come to God as He starts putting us the position who God is and who we are. So then he continued and talked in verse 6, and he gave us the idea, and that's why I like the two kind of ways how he deal with God and how he continued giving us the idea for people that can only see the general revelation. So he's putting here in verse 6 the idea of what is a thirsty land. For us in Cuba, in the part of Cuba that we live, it's really, you said, dry. So, and in a dry place, the land is like start to open. Sometimes it gets like this, separate. And so my brother, he likes to plant and to seed and to do all of that. And sometimes you need to put a lot of water for that sand, that for the soil to get like ready for you to put everything, and then you can get everything from the ground. So here he's just talking to us that his life, how he was. He was like a thirsty land. What is that? We can see what is for us, if we can think how a land can be just open like that, how many times you need to pass that way. And here in Cuba we use oxen. We use oxen to go there. You know how many times you need, if you have a piece of land like this, just to prepare that land, do you know how many times you need to go there and return, go and return, go and return? So that's the kind of idea how David wants us to know how he wants to be with God. Because every time you need to prepare the land, just that's the way how he has been feeling. That's the way how he wants to be closer to God, closer to the work that God can be doing in us. So it's not that David is saying, I can solve my problems alone, I can just work in my life alone. No, he's just saying, I need somebody to be doing that, to be working in me, to start putting water in all this thirsty land. And that's why we need God. So he's showing us here why he wants to have communion again with God. So then the four point or division that we have been looking into here is now in verse 7 and 8, he's giving us and putting us in the position of knowing how urgente, ¿cómo se dice, papá? Urgent. Sorry, there are some words. The origin of his situation. So he's just going now to tell us how he wants God to know about everything of that and help him on the middle of the situation. And now he's going like, answer me speedily, O Lord. If there's a person that knows how is to, what is speedily, is me. I like that. I like just going, I need to rent a car in Cuba for 3 days and go to Havana 3 times in 3 days. Havana is around 700 kilometers. I don't know how much is that for you here in the States. But just imagine how fast I need to go to Havana and return and go again and return and go a third time and return. So I know what is that. What is he talking about? He's saying, oh Lord, answer to me like that. And for me, just at the time of praying, sometimes we want God to answer to our prayers just like this. We're having a problem. Just, okay, God, now we need this. Go. And sometimes for us, we're in the middle of all of this situation, like for David, and then we want just to see God working in that way. But the problem is that, again, just returning to the beginning, everything of this is not in our time, is not under our the way that we can treat with God things, because it is not about us. That's why David started telling to us the position where we are in all of this, and who is God and how he is going to solve all the problems to us. So David is going like that, telling us who is God, everything that God has been doing, the necessity that he had, and then he wants to have communion. And now he's saying, how fast I want you to solve the problem for me. Please, I need your help really fast. And we can be thinking like, well, here is David. He knows all of this, but he wanted really fast. I just raise my hand. The lady or the man come, take my glass, go really fast, and then I just go again and drink the glass of Coke. And for us, sometimes it's like that. And if there are persons that have the same problem like this, and we want to see God doing everything that is us in Cuba. And that's why when I was reading all these texts and psalm, and I was preparing for all of this, I said, you know, I'm going to be in the States, and I'm going to be preaching about this in the States. And now I know for sure, if David would be living today here, how fast he will think. If you just only need like, okay, I'm sick. When we finish here, I have been having some problems. And it was like, let's go to the store. Then you have 10 kinds of soup. And I wanted a soup just for me. And you can see how fast you can solve the problem. And David had been just thinking about that. But the first thing is, when we're talking about all these problems, and we think that we can do it by ourselves, then we know that we're having a big problem like David. Because then we start, if we see it different than him, then we are going to think that the God that we serve is a different God than the God that David had in mind. So now he was telling us everything here, how fast he wants God to help him. And he's saying, don't hide your face from me. In Cuba, we have more like, we don't call too much people. And why we don't call too much people? Because a person by phone can tell you, for example, oh, where do you are? And a person on the other side of the phone, he can say where he can change the location where he are really easy. So then you need a person, oh, I need a favor from you. Oh, but I'm in Hawaii. He's not in Hawaii, he's just next block. But that person doesn't want to help you. So in Cuba, what we do is, I need a favor from Don, then I just go to his house. Hello? I need your help. So you cannot hide from the person. But sometimes I just call Don, where do you are? I'm in Hawaii. No, he would like to say that. But it's not possible. And this is the same way how David is telling us and saying, please God, I cannot see you. There's a way that I'm just talking to you. I don't know where you are, but I need you. And sometimes we just want to see God doing things in a way that is not the same way that that we answer to our own things here. So he's telling him, don't hide your face from me. Let I be like those who go down into the pit. So now he's saying, I just want to be like this. I know how terrible I'm feeling. I know how bad is everything. And we have been in for the last 1 year or 2 years, we have been looking all of this. Everybody is like, oh, the world is shutting down everything. The world is going to die completely and everything. And sometimes we just go into stress because we don't know what is going to happen. But, and then we start looking to Christ and looking him to go really fast to answer our prayers. So then in verse 8, he's telling, because me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Everything, when we talk about looking to God in the morning, sometimes we say, but why in the morning? Well, the problem is that everything starts with God. Our life needs to start with God. I have been teaching in Cuba at the church about regulative principle, and the first point is always everything needs to start in God. And sometimes we want to start the day by our own ideas or by our own desires to go and do something. And when we go and we start everything for us, when we start the day looking on the way that we want to solve all our problems, then we find that everything is not the way that we have been thinking that it was going to be. So that's why here is that important of coming into God, knowing that we need to put God in our life first. And David, that's the way for him to continue going, like to the beginning of the psalm. I know who you are. I know that I need to come to you first. And we want to start everything in our day, always start with God. So then he continued, and he's talking that, and he's saying why he needs God to answer him really fast, because he knows that God is the only one that can do everything. So then comes the fifth division here, and it's verse 9 and 10, where he's making the commitment of God. Now we see here how God is going to, how he's looking all this part. Teach me to do your will. Now we start and saying here, okay, I have this problem. I need to come to you. I know who you are. And the only way for me to make all of this possible is if you help me to do everything that I want. The world, God is the one who has the world on his hand. He's the one who rules the world. He's the one who makes everything on this world. And when we come here saying, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, then he knows what he has been saying on this part. And then he goes like, teach me to do your will. For us to do God's will is really difficult many times, because we want to do everything under our principles, and we just want to try to arrange the world under our position, and we just want to make everything look like on the way that we can put everything on the place that we want. Sometimes we just wake up and we see, I'm going to do this day, and this, and this, and this. And how many of you then, when start everything during the day, start looking like everything start to change? And sometimes we just want to do something, and we need to stop doing that. And this is us in Cuba. I don't know if you face the same here, because then I was going to do something, but I need a part that I don't have that at home. Then I need to go to try to find the thing to continue doing everything that I was planning to do in that day. And then when you go into that, then you get another problem, probably in that place. And then when you see, you do not accomplish in that day what you were trying to do that day, just because something, you didn't have something, or you were trying to look for something. And that's our life in Cuba. We try to, sometimes I say, I'm not going to do any plan, because when I start planning everything, then something comes up, and then you need to put that there, and then try to do something else. And then when you see the other thing, then you need to go to try to get something else fixed. And that's why he's saying here, teach me to do your will. We need to ask God through the Holy Spirit to teach us everything on the way that we need to walk for God. We need to try to find a way to follow God on this world under God's provision, or on the way that God wants. It's not under us. Sometimes we want to do something, it doesn't work. Today, this morning, we were talking about here how we were trying to buy yesterday all the pressure cookers, and everything was ready. Everything was, the money was there, there was a car, there was a person just trying to buy everything of that, and then no more. Because we were trying to do everything in our under our necessity, and sometimes just it doesn't work. And then you need to try the next day or the other day. And that's why we are always asking God, we just want to depend on you. We just want to go under you, under your provision, and under everything that you can do for us. It's not about us. It's not about the things that we can solve in one day. Every time we need to say, God, we want to be under your provision and under your providence. Because on the other way, we will be just managing our world under our conditions. And that's not the way how we approach to God. So when we continue looking for the last division of the psalm, and it's the number 6, those are verses 11 and 12. It is just coming and talking, revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. He's saying here, it's not because of me. Don't do this because of me. David is saying, do this, but because of your name. And when we start looking about all the covenants that God has been doing with Israel and with everything in all the history of the Bible, then we see that everything has been done by Him, for Him, and for His glory. It's not for me. I'm not receiving any glory or anything of this. And sometimes people just want to get everything for them. Oh, this was because of me, and I was the one doing everything, and because I did this, and because I did that. And David here is saying, it's not because of that. Do all of this, O Lord, to me, but not because of me, but because of your name. And that's why he started the psalm telling us who God was and on the way that we need to approach God. And it's because of him and not because of us on the way that we need to come to him. For your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. So it's because of you, for you. That's why you need to do that, God. And it's because of you, not because of me. We're nothing on God's hands. And sometimes we as regular people living on this fallen world, we see and we try to put everything on the way that we are the ones who has the dominion and we're the ones who has the power of everything. And every time I come to States and I return to Cuba, everybody always keep me asking, how's the States? And I say, oh, really nice, excellent. And so everybody's like, oh yes. And then I go and I start telling all these stories. You raise your hand and you have an extra Coke and you do this and you do that. And then you get into a store and you have 10 people just, oh, what do you need? What do you want? What? And you are like, oh, I'm really famous. Everybody's coming here because I'm Daniel. But when you start looking at everything like that, that's not because who you are. And David is giving us this. Everything is because who God is. And not because who we are. And if today we can be here, that's just because of God's grace. And it's not because of us, but it's because God. So he's taking us out of all the troubles, and he's comforting our souls and everything like that, not because of us, but it's because of him. Everything on this world is for him and because of his glory, and it's not because of us. We're just sinners, and we're just person who has fallen and did everything against God. But it's because of God that we can be here today. Verse 12, in your mercy cut off my enemies. David again comes and says, it's not because of me, it's because of you. And when we come and we can be thinking about these parts here, this verse 12, we can find it, and the way that many authors and person who have been writing about this is talking that this is a part of imprecatory, imprecatory ways. And when we see David is saying here, and destroy all those who afflict my soul. Sometimes I have been talking to many pastors, and they don't like for us to start praying the imprecatory psalms. And that's really good, because when we can pray about that, what we are doing is we're giving to God all the glory, and we are letting Him do everything. Because the only one who can defeat everything, and the only one who can do whatever He wants, is just God. And that's through Christ. Who can be the one putting all our enemies down? That's just Jesus. And He did that through the dying in the cross, and He has been crushing all the enemies and doing everything like that. But when we can pray like that, destroy all those who afflict my soul, that is given just to God the glory, and just to God the opportunity of showing who He is. We cannot destroy the enemies. We can just not go. And David, as I said before, he's really clear about everything that he's saying there, because he has been persecuted, he has been under a lot of pressure, and he knows that the only one, even he can know how to fight. There are many parts in the Bible, you know, when he was just going there and everybody was claiming to him, oh David, oh he destroyed the 10,000 and the other, and he served before.
Saul killed his thousands, David his 10,000.
Yes. So he knows what is to know everything about that. He has been into that position of, he knows how to conquer and how to fight and everything. But then he comes into this verse and he's saying, but it's not because of me, it's because of you. And the only one who can put all our enemies down is just God through Christ and for Him dying and raising from death. And if we today can be here, it's because of His mercy and because of His grace. So and at the last part of the verse, it just says, for I am your servant. That's like the big part for this psalm. He's giving us who God is, and finish showing us that David was praying to God, and he was recognizing who He is, and then he finished saying who we are. We are just God's servants. We cannot just think that we are something really special, or we are the ones who has all the powers in our hands, because the only one with everything of that is just God. And if today we are here, it's just because that Jesus died on the cross for us and gave us life. It's not because we can do anything, but it's just because of God. And this is the way that the verse, all of this psalm ends, and how David had been taking us into a really good way of who God is, what's man in the position of all of this. And it has been really good to see all of this part, and knowing first who was David. David was a person who had all the power and everything, and he was a king, and all of that we know from here. But even in that high position, he recognized that the only person who is in charge of the world, and the only person who can go and do everything, is just God through Christ and His dying on the cross for us today. And if we can be here today, it's because God's grace and mercy. And this verse is just for my soul, and it's just for me to start looking God in the way that David wants us to see God. And I hope that this just encourages you in the middle of all your life and everything that we have been going in Cuba, here in the States, everywhere is the same thing. Just always go to God as what He is, and not just thinking or believing that we are something by our strength, but we are everything because of God's grace and mercy.